This is Leafs Breakfast.
Matthews against the wall, still after it. Here's a wraparound. Coming in front, they score! Tavares setting up Austin Matthews! And the Leafs big guns have exploded here in the second period, and it is 4-1.
Well, if you saw the appearance from our next guest, Mike Johnson, on, I believe it was That's Hockey, maybe it was SportsCenter, but he was talking about how Austin Matthews was primed to score a goal. No 5-on-5 goals in 10 straight games, something very uncommon for number 34 for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And lo and behold, Mike Johnson, Mystic Mike, the prince of prognostication on TSN, was once again correct. But not only did Austin Matthews score, five other Maple Leafs scored in a 6-2 win for the LA, or over the LA Kings for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we welcome him in now, Mike Johnson. How you doing, buddy?
Listen, good morning. Anytime you open a segment with telling people that I was right about something, it's a good start to my day, because most often I can come on and say where I've been wrong about something. So please, I'll take the wins when I get them. But you know what? We've talked a lot about, you know, what's going on with the offense, something wrong there. Their bottom kind of five, set, whatever they are, 5-7 team in the league offensively. And some of that wasn't worth being concerned about. But some of it, you knew at some point it would turn, right? Like, just they're not going to be the worst shooting team in the league. They're just not. They're not going to shoot 6% for the season. It's not going to happen. Just mathematically, it cannot. And last night felt a little bit like a day where some of that started to turn, where they put up six. You know, not all the chances that went in were glorious breakaway opportunities. They just found ways to score goals, which is what we expect them to do at a greater rate than they've done so far. But that was a good win. Good for the Leafs. Good for Austin. Good for Jack Campbell to get one against LA, because he was disappointed in what happened earlier in the year. So a nice way to start their road trip, because Wes, that's just nice, convincing, comfortable. Just, they're supposed to be the better team. They were the better team.
Yeah, no, and it's funny because, you know, early on in the season, you hear some comments coming out of the Leafs saying, oh, we don't pay attention to the outside noise and what people are saying about us. But it just seems like with this team, every time something is pointed out about this group, they find a way the next game to fix it. Like, you know, it's the Austin Matthews not scoring 5-on-5. Boom, scores 5-on-5 next game. Well, the offense hasn't been scoring many goals. Boom, the offense scores their most goals of the season. It's just, you have to think that this team right now sort of relishes on the fact that they sort of motivate themselves when people point things out that they need to do better at. Do you not see that as well, too?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine they seem to be a pretty close group, right? Like, they've been around each other, a lot of the core players have been around each other for several years, and they've gone through some great highs individually, for sure. But they've gone through some really tough lows and some trying times, Carlo. I don't know what it would have been like to be on a team the last 2 years, but this whole bubble existence where your world is basically your teammates. That's the only time you're allowed out of your house, right? So you probably get a little bit closer than just in a normal situation. And that idea that they're carrying a chip on their shoulder, or they want to prove people wrong in some respect, I bet that does exist. And whether it's for themselves or for each other, like, they want to show, you know what, Mitch Marner is not supposed to be good anymore. Well, he's going to go out and show you that he is. They can't score. You know, they're going to find a way to maybe score a little bit more. Maybe there is something to that. Now, I'll temper that with, like, everything the entire season. Okay, well, there's a lot of doubt about the playoffs, and they'll have to find that same kind of resiliency, that same kind of way to change the narrative when it matters most. But throughout the regular season, they're a good team. Like, we know they're a good team, and they're playing accordingly. They're figuring out different ways to win. Different guys are having hot streaks and everything else, and it's going kind of according to plan. Except, I don't know, Carl, if anyone saw Jack Campbell. I mean, like, again, we need to reiterate, like, how great Jack Campbell has been this year. When you want to tie, one talks about defensive goals against and their comfort and in tight games and holding leads. I'm like, well, yeah, when you have the best goalie in the league, you're going to feel comfortable with a lead. You're going to hold on to them more often than not. Like, he has been that good, and I think we always need to remind ourselves that when you have the best goalie at a .943 save percentage, everything defensively is going to look a lot better.
in conversation with TSN hockey analyst Mike Johnson. And I think with all of the stats and all of the things that have occurred through 21 games for the Maple Leafs, this for me is the most surprising. Alex Kerfoot, who scored last night, his third goal of the year, leads the Maple Leafs in even strength points. Who had that a quarter way through the season, MJ?
Nobody. Not on this team. Although, you know what? Alex Kerfoot played really well last year in the playoffs, right? Like, for all the disappointments and the not getting it done at the end of the William Nylander had a really good first-round playoff there against Montreal. And I think Alex Kerfoot had a really good first-round playoff as well. And now that he's no longer playing on the third line, he's playing with quality players. He's a nice complimentary piece, right? Like, he's a good facilitator, whether he's in the middle or on the wing. Like, he gets to the puck. He makes pretty good plays with it. He gets it to his line mates in good positions. And he also, I think, has the highest on-ice shooting percentage on the team.
So and regression to the mean is coming. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, he's playing with good players, so, like, you know, it's probably going to be higher than normal, but it's probably not going to be as high as it is now. So at some point, that probably will drop off. But you'll take it. You love the five-on-five production because he doesn't get to play on the power play, right? Or maybe second unit sometimes, which is effectively not on the power play because the first guys play most of the time. And he wants to chip in. Oh, if you don't play on the power play and you can score in the teens for goals, right? If you can get between, like, you know, 13 to 15 goals without getting power play goals, and you can get 30 to 40 points without your power play points, that is an amazing offensive season. And right now, Kerfoot is kind of on pace to do something like that.
Johnny, there was comments coming out of the game yesterday from Keith and from Spezza. Spezza saying how much the atmosphere in the room is a fun place to be. And Keith saying that you know, nights like tonight are good signs for this team and especially for where we want to go. You know, today being Thanksgiving and one of the biggest holidays in the U.S., do you think Sheldon Keefe walked into the dressing room yesterday and said, boys, there's an engine problem on the plane. We're staying the night in L.A.
And Beans has got his tour bus out front, so let's get after it. I mean, you'd like to think so, Carlo, because that happens, right? That happens.
It does happen.
Prefer Coach Dangles that carrot before the game, because then it's a little bit of, you know, they put it in your team's mind, like, how do they react when they have a night off, an extra night in Miami, in L.A., in New York? Like, do they respond properly, or is that weigh on them and distract them? Although, given what happened last year, right? Remember when they went down to Florida early, like a couple days early, to do some fishing and some golfing, and then they just absolutely laid an egg in that game, and there's talks about, you know, are they immature, or can they handle it? So I wonder if, you know, they want to go down that road again, because in previous years they haven't responded to those green light nights on the road to have some fun and get out with each other. And the other part of it, Carlo, and this is quite serious, is that I think all the teams, are really trying to be wary of what they do on the road and where they go and how they eat. So, like in a normal time, you get that. It's like, okay, we're going out to a great dinner. We're heading out to a fun bar. We're all going to hang out together. We're going to live the L.A. high life. It's going to be great. Like, it's really fun nights spent with guys that you're buddies with, and you get to know them, and it's all good.
Yeah,
I think teams are really trying to curtail that. Like, you don't want to go to bars. You don't want to go to busy restaurants. Like, it's just not something that you do as much right now because of what's happening. I mean, you don't have to look around the league, whether it's Ottawa or the Islanders or San Jose or Pittsburgh. Like, you know, 10-15% of the league has had COVID outbreaks, like pretty serious ones, and you're trying your best to make sure that doesn't happen to you.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I mean, it's almost like what Ottawa's going through right now. They're on their West Coast road trip, and they're stuck in a bubble in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They've came out and basically said, we're not going anywhere. We're getting through this. We're not going to have this situation brought up to us. But to be honest with you, when you look at teams like Ottawa, Vancouver, and Montreal, you kind of wish they were able to have a night like we were just talking about, because, man, it's been so tough with the negativity around those teams. Like, I know me and you do some Montreal games together, and I know there's 60 games left in this season, but do you have any hope for what the Montreal Canadiens are trying to do this year? Because I don't see anything good about their team this year. Nothing.
No, And it's amazing. Like, you keep waiting for them maybe to turn the corner a little bit and be a bit better. But I watched the game last night against Washington.
Oh, wow.
It was like the first 30 minutes were awful. Like, they weren't
embarrassing.
Even close. Like, this team was in the final five months ago. Like, it's crazy. This team was looking to win a Stanley Cup. And now they're close to being the worst team in the league. And yeah. I don't think waiting for Carey Price to show up on, you know, to save the day is a good idea for anybody. So, yeah, they probably could use a little bit of to blow off some team. And it makes it worse because, like, these markets are not like they're not like Dallas. Like, you're going to get lost in the shuffle of the sports.
Yeah, Columbus.
You know, like Arizona, where, like, we could be terrible in Arizona. I could go to the grocery store. I could go to my kid's school. I could go play some golf. No one's giving me the business. They go, why don't you mix in a win before you work on your drive? Like, you don't hear that.
Yeah.
But you know, in Montreal, everywhere you go, and Vancouver, and
the
to some extent,
Ottawa. The
poutine
places in Montreal are charging you double.
Schwartz's. Yeah, you want a pound of smoked meat? That's $50.
No Schwartz for you. Like, exactly.
No Schwartz for you.
It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be a long year. I've been on teams that have been out of it by American Thanksgiving, and these guys are not just out of it. Like, you know, like Buffalo's out of it. They're out of it. They might be the worst team in the league, and it's so miserable. Like, it is so. I know they get paid well. I know it's the NHL, but there's nothing fun about what they're going through right now. And I don't know, but when I watch Montreal play, seems like they're almost like getting worse at times. It's really, really tough sledding.
Yeah, it's very ugly in Montreal, very ugly in Vancouver as well. Some of those comments coming out post game does not necessarily lend itself to a team that's going to be bouncing back in a big way anytime soon. Mike Johnson is our guest, and MJ, we were talking about Carlo finding fan mail from his time in St. Louis about 10 years ago and returning it. This week, I don't know if you saw some of his tweets and Instagram posts yesterday about that.
Yeah.
Were you a guy when you were playing in the NHL who returned fan mail promptly, or did you wait an entire decade to do so?
This is a true story, okay? So back in the day when I played for the Leafs, you know, there was no internet, or the internet was just kind of starting up. You couldn't access people except for fan mail. And not because I was good, but just because it was Toronto in that time, we would get bags. Like, every month, you would get bags with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of letters. And not as sophisticated as they are now, where they give you like the self-addressed envelope and you just basically sign it, stuff it in the envelope and send it back. Like, they just sent you the card and a letter saying, please sign, or you're my fan, I'm a fan of yours, or whatever. And so, you know, I was a single guy. I'm like, I don't want to spend my Sunday, you know, filling out envelopes and looking postage stamps. Like, I don't want any part of that. But my mom, true story, she impressed upon me over and over, like, this is part of your job. Like, you have to return me.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, you know, I don't want them. She's like, I'll help you. So I would go up once a month to my mom, my parents' house, set up on their dining room table, and my mom, who could type a lot better than me, would individually help type out a personal note to every individual's name, and I would sign the note, and then we would put it in the envelope. We'd fill out the envelope, sign the card, and send them all off. Every single one from my time in Montreal.
Johnny.
Mama Johnson was
unbelievable.
Was in charge of it. And, like, she had her little laptop over there, called back there, word processor, and she'd have them all out. And that's why I wouldn't have any of these, because literally my mom made sure I returned every one. And she would always say, it's part of your job. These are the reasons, these fans are the reasons why you guys have so much fun. Like, and I was too young to appreciate it, but now that I'm older, I'm like, she's very much right. I don't have any of those old ones because my mom took care of them.
Wow, your mom, what a savior she was, man. First star. Like,
class.
That's an incredible, because I'm with you, Johnny. And look, the reason why I found this is because I'm going through like a winter cleaning here. I'm just trying to get rid of a lot of clutter. And I opened up one of my memorabilia boxes and I found a basket that literally had over 100 envelopes in it.
Mm-hmm.
From when I moved back from St. Louis. So these are all from 2010, 2011. I'm like, I can't just throw these out. Like, think about like how cool it would be to get a gift 10 years later about somebody that sent these out. So I'm like, I'm opening every one of them up, and I'm like, I got to send these back, regardless if it's late or if it's not. But I'm with you. When I played in my career, the thing I hated the most, and I really enjoyed like getting the bag of stuff and, you know, spending some time signing stuff, but when you would get an envelope with a card in it that had no return letter with no stamp on it.
No envelope provided, no stamp.
Pathetic.
Come on.
Yeah.
I gotta dig through and find like some obscure address in Missouri or in Canmore, British Columbia, whatever. Yeah.
If somebody sends me that, I just don't even bother. Like I'm not gonna go through that. But I have no problem returning everything that people have sent me. So if you're listening and you sent me something over 10 years ago, you'll be getting a nice Christmas gift in the mail. And just some of the letters that you pull up from the fans. I shared a nice one yesterday about, you know, how a kid went to the game with his dad and I handed him one of my sticks. And that used to be the fun thing I used to do. Like when we would win a game and I'd be walking off and fans would be high-fiving and stuff, I'd just give one of my sticks that I used in the game. Because I don't know about you, Johnny, but I would never use a game stick 2 games in a row.
Really? Are
you the same way?
I would not use it 2 games in a row, but I would use that game stick for practice until the next game.
Yes.
I'd use a fresh one every game, and then if the stick wasn't broken, and it had to take face off, so they were rarely broken, then I would use that game stick for the next couple practices till the next game, and then go fresh again for the contest. So, but listen, you wonder why stick budgets are $300,000, because you guys, every time you walk off, one for you is like Oprah with cars. Like everyone gets a $300 stick. And one of the teams, because Carlo, I don't know if you remember, but back when the one pieces first came out and the stick budgets exploded, right?
Yes.
And teams were trying to make a push through the PA to take the stick budget out of players because they're like, we don't want to pay this much money. And that, can you imagine if somehow you had to pay a percentage of your stick budget? You know, guys go to the bench.
I wouldn't be handing out any sticks.
No, you would. But when guys get frustrated, Carlo, and they just break them,
you're
like, okay, there's $300.
$300.
I'm like, guys would never do that. So, some teams tried to make that happen, but they were unsuccessful, thank goodness.
Well, gentlemen, on behalf of someone like myself who collected hockey autographs when I was young, I remember I once sent off something to Rick Nash when he played with the London Knights. And I'm like, hey, Rick, big fan. I was probably, I don't know, 12 years old. And they sent me back. Rick Nash sent me a collection of things. All calendars and cards
Come
and
on.
Everything.
Pucks.
Signed? Class. All signed. I still have it somewhere. Probably in my parents' storage locker. But Rick Nash, I always remember that. Also, Danny Heatley with Atlanta. When he was playing there, I sent him a letter, a signed address stamped envelope, and he sent me back a whole collection of things as well. So big fan of Danny Heatley and Rick Nash to this day. So thank you very much to those gentlemen.
Well,
and thank you, MJ, for joining us.
You remember these things, and that's why it matters. That's the whole point my mom was making. Kids would remember. It's nothing to you, something to them. So that's why they do it. So good on you,
Mama
Carlo.
Johnson.
10 years too late, but never
10 years
too late to send them back.
Can you imagine?
Hey,
you're like,
hey, good on you, Mama Johnson, man.
Yeah, exactly. I probably sent some off to Mike Johnson as well. I was a big fan of MJ then. I'm a big fan of MJ now. So I might send something to you, even at TSN. I'm sure you guys get stuff at TSN, right, MJ?
I got some last night. I was in the studio for the first time. They came over and dumped a bushel in my lap. So I'm like, I got to do it today. Yeah, absolutely.
Johnny, just a quick favor. Are you traveling to the States anytime soon?
I am. I'm going tomorrow.
Can I meet you somewhere and drop off these envelopes for you that have U.S. stamps on them so you can drop them in the U.S. mailbox?
You got to kick in for the extra postage to get it across the border, baby.
I would imagine the price of stamps has gone up in the last 10 years too, Coco, so you might have to add on some more stamps.
Oh, okay, so that's what the next thing I was going to ask. Like, are these stamps that are on these things still
there's
good?
There's no way. Not even close to enough. I remember like 50-cent stamps. And listen, I haven't mailed a letter and I don't even know how long, but they got to be like, what, $1.50 now, MJ? I don't know. Yes, you would probably know better than I, considering people actually send you letters.
I think stamps are not a dollar. They're like 55 cents in Canada, and then you just put two of them to send them to the States. I don't know. I don't know. I just put one for Canada, two stamps for the States, and hope that that's enough.
We'll get some clarification during the commercial break. Thank you for doing this,
money
man.
Well worth
it
for me, so whatever it costs.
Yeah. All right, boys. Happy American Thanksgiving. Enjoy your football and turkey all day. Have a good weekend.
Go Lions.
Go Lions. Go Lions. That is our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. Yeah, the price of stamps, I mean, you know, inflation at an all-time high in our country for a number of reasons. But stamps, I feel, and I don't think they're 55 cents. I might be mistaken. We're going to look this up and we'll get some clarification.
So the stamps that are on these are no good?
So here's my guess. is that if you want to mail back those 10-year-old letters, you're going to have to shell out some cash, my man.
That's fine. You're gonna, I don't care.
Okay. All right. I mean, but you're, I think here's what you have to do. You have to go to the post office.
I know.
And if those still exist, I don't know. And like individually, like how much do I owe for this letter?
I know.
How much do I owe? This is going to be a big nuisance for you.
So look at this. I'll show you right now. This is the stack of letters I got to send out. There's probably about 70 or 80 letters in here. This is all U.S. Mm. And then.
Oh, there's a Canadian one too.
I got this stack of Canadians. So
it's going to be a busy couple days.
I'm happy.
Make your assistant do that. Derek Truba. Make Derek Truba your assistant.
I should make him handle that. But handle I want to get into some of the letters that I got, because there was this one funny one I couldn't help but post. And it was from Teresa Schneider.
Teresa Schneider.
2010. I'll read it quickly. It says, "You are my all-time favorite hockey player ever. You are so amazing at hockey, the best defenseman in the world. I go to almost all of the Blues games. Anyways, I think that you should get in a fight more often because you are a total beast and you win all your fights."
Well, man, it's sadly, correct.
Sadly, the hockey season is almost over and I cannot wait for next year. But please, please, please don't get traded. I will be extremely sad. So just keep being amazing. P.S. Tell TJ Oshie I love him a ton as well.
Wow. What a letter. I mean, Teresa, not a very good talent evaluator. I would.
What are you talking about, man?
You know, best defenseman. Maybe she meant to send that to Petrangelo. I don't know. But in any case,
total
very
beast.
Nice letter.
Get into a fight because I'm a total
Get into
beast.
A fight. It's like, yeah, you look up at the stands, you point at Teresa, be like, this one's for you.
This one's for you, Teresa.
You beat the crap out of someone, and you move on with your day. That's probably something you could do if you were still an active NHLer. Unfortunately, for now, the only people you could fight with is me during commercial breaks about LeBron James and if he should have had those fans ejected from the game. In any case, Ed Werder will join us at 8:30. We'll tee up a big day of Thanksgiving football. I am so excited for this afternoon. Now, Lions and Bears, maybe not so much, but the Raiders in Dallas to take on the Cowboys, a team that Ed covers extensively in his time at ESPN. So looking forward to that. And the Bills, the Thursday night football game. The Bills in New Orleans against the Saints. I would term it a must-win for Buffalo, right? Have to win this one.
Especially after that debacle last week.
Indeed. You know. So that's all coming up with that Werder. James Duthie also joining us.
JD.
Wow. I always love talking to James. And I guess he's a guy with a lot of knowledge, experience in golf matches, much of which has been successful. So maybe we'll see if we can get some advice for Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, who go head-to-head tomorrow in another edition of The Match. It's hour 3 of First Up on the way next.